In the book of Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 8, the Lord gives us a warning. He says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And one of the contrasts that we should be able to see clearly from that warning in Colossians 2:8 is there is very much a difference between what is after Christ, what is from God through Christ, versus what is of this world. And we're warned to not be listening to or following after these things that are of men, that are of this world, and not after Christ. So we need what is after Christ, what is from God, from above. Wisdom is one of those things that we need from God, and that what is of men in terms of wisdom, which we can see described there in Colossians 2:8, we must stay away from, lest we be spoiled spiritually. So then it does beg the question about where does wisdom come from? Now, God is the only source of true wisdom, that is, of His kind, that is what is the kind that we need. He is described as being only wise. Romans chapter 16, verse 27 says, "To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And then Jude, that one chapter book, verse 25 says, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." So that's included frequently in the greetings or closings of the epistles in the New Testament. And that emphasis being on God and His wisdom, and that there's none like Him in that. He is the only source of it. God's wisdom is not from this world. We're not going to find it among men in the land of the living. In Job chapter 28, whenever I read this chapter, and we do want to actually take the time to read all 28 verses of Job 28, but when I read that, I tend to want to think about what those friends of his that were around Job when he was speaking these words, what they would have been thinking when they were hearing this from him, as they were scorning and mocking him repeatedly in what he said. But when he speaks, when he spoke these words about the wisdom of God and its source and not being found in the land of the living, were they listening to that? Of course, the big question is, are we listening to that? And that's what we're given these words for. But in Job 28, he begins saying, "Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it." From here down through when he speaks about that dust of gold, we're going to have several verses here at the beginning of this chapter. They're going to be speaking about these material things that men value that are found on this earth. Now, of course, they're all temporal things, but they're found here. They're part of this material world. And so he says, "Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold." So there's he's talking about all those material things that are found here. That's in contrast to what he begins to speak of in verse 7. "There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock, he overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? So that's the question here. It's unlike those things that he was speaking about in verses 1 through 6, where man knows where it is and man can find it, these material things in this world. But as far as wisdom and understanding, is it like that? Is that going to be found here among men in this material world? Is man the source of it? Not at all. Where is it found? And that's the question, because we need it. Verse 13 says, man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? So it is not here, it is not in the land of the living, and its value far exceeds any and all things that are in this material world. This is the eternal wisdom of God, and it's not from men. So the question is, whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. So where is it found? That's the one and only source, God. He knows where it is to be found and how it is to be found. It is with him, and he's the source of it. Verse 24 says, for he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So there he's teaching us the things that we need to do in order to be able to seek to find that wisdom that only comes from God. But it is only from him, and it is not of this world. And what is of man and of in this world, whatever wisdom is here, it is not God's. We need to forsake that, and we need to seek after this wisdom that comes from God alone. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 1, starting in verse 20, this wisdom of God is available to all men. It's not found among in the land of the living. This is not the source of it, but can man find it and receive it from God? Yes, and who has the opportunity? To whom is it available? And it is available to all men, according to what the Lord teaches here. We see in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, here's God's wisdom crying out. And where is God's wisdom crying out to mankind? Well, in all the places where man is to be found. Proverbs 1 verse 20 says, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gate. In the city she uttereth her words, saying. So where is wisdom crying out to man? All these places in the streets and where men meet together, where they're to be found. So here God is calling out to all mankind by his wisdom, encouraging and calling men to listen to it, to pursue it and seek after it. How many actually find it? That's a rare thing, and we'll see what the problem is as it's described here. Here's what God's wisdom says in verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? So here's man after his own wisdom, finding God's wisdom or scorning it. Scorning it, loving his own wisdom, but this is what God warns us not to be spoiled by. And so God's wisdom says in verse 23 here in Proverbs 1, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. If we will turn and listen to the reproof of the wisdom of God and receive that and then seek after that, then we will be able to find, God will be willing to give his wisdom to us then. But we have to forsake what is of men and our own wisdom and turn and listen to God's. But how many men do that? Not many. He says in verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. Does that sound like the age we're living in? This is our world today. He's describing it perfectly here. He says in verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Remember how key that was in Job 28:28 to receiving wisdom and understanding from God. But man will not choose the fear of the Lord, to hate evil and to love righteousness and to seek after it. And they're not going to find God's wisdom. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And he continues on into chapter 2. God is the source of this wisdom that only he has. Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searcheth for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding, his kind. He is the one and only source of it. Are there conditions for us to be able to receive that? It's not found in the land of the living. It is from God. He is offering that to all mankind, as we see going back to chapter 1 and verse 20. But we have to meet these conditions that God has given. We have to seek that from him. And we have to ask him for it. We have to seek not just a little, but as for hid, as for silver and hid treasure. And then we have to receive the reproof and correction that comes from him. If we do all those things that he speaks about there, and we give turn our heart to God to listen to him and his wisdom and forsake that of man, we can find this. God will be willing to give that to us. And that is what we need. And without it, we're going to be facing destruction and desolation in eternity, as we saw there in those verses in Proverbs chapter 1. In the New Testament, in James chapter 1 and verse 5, we see the same thing taught in this one verse here, James 1, 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Who does he still identify as the one and only source of his wisdom? Do we lack any of it? Do we need more of it? We need to go to the source, and we still need to do all those things that he teaches us to do in seeking and asking of God and turning at his reproof in order for him to give that to us. But if we do those things, he says it will be given. God gives us a great promise to provide us, supply us with that wisdom that is his, if we will turn to him and seek after it and listen to his reproof. What man, when man by his wisdom scorns God and his wisdom, and we do see this, man against God, the creation against the creator. And we're sure seeing that more and more today, and the boldness of the creation to stand up against their creator and condemn the creator. And in how many ways are they doing that? Now, how many men in their boldness for wickedness fully understand that they are condemning their own maker? Or are they opposing themselves in their blindness? It's a strong delusion that this world has. They are in the devil's snare. They have been deceived. Nevertheless, when we have the creation condemning the Creator and standing up against Him, man's wisdom against God's, God is always right. Romans 3, 3 and 4, He says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" Look at today. All of the unbelief that is multiplying and seeming to prevail in so many ways in our world today, is that going to cancel out faith in God? Is it going to make it of none effect? It won't. He says, "God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged." When God is being judged by His creation, who's going to prevail? God is. And what if all the world, what if all 7 billion, and it's just about like that, but of all 7 billion plus whatever we have now, in unison, all speak out against God and His ways and His wisdom. Is that going to have any effect in nullifying God and who He is and what He is and what He says? It will not. In the end, God is true, always will be, and His wisdom, and man is the liar when he's opposing God. And man's wisdom is false. God's wisdom is true. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, 13 and 14, Solomon, that king that was given so much wisdom by God, we know that he had his heart turned by those wives that he married that were not followers of God. Even with that wisdom, they turned his heart away from the Lord for a season. Then Solomon repented, which the book of Ecclesiastes records in so much detail. In chapter 1, 13 and 14 of the book of Ecclesiastes, we find these words preserved, God's words through Solomon. He says, "And I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun." Now, what's under the sun? That's what's in this world. And Solomon beheld all of that. And all that man is doing and all that man is accomplishing by his wisdom, his own wisdom. What did he conclude about it? What did he recognize? He says, "Behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." So as far as the wisdom and so-called righteousness of men, this is all vanity. And it is all vexation of spirit. And it's all false. It's a strong delusion. It's the devil's lie. And we need to forsake that. Now, God spoke about his own people in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22. Jeremiah 4:22, he says, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." Now, did they have a kind of wisdom? Yeah, they had the wrong kind. They had a wisdom in doing evil. Now, that's the wisdom of men, and that will destroy. That's why he tells us in Colossians 2:8, to beware and not be spoiled by that. If we listen to the wisdom of this world, we will become very skillful in doing evil. We will believe lies and we will follow those lies and we will be doing evil. Now, how wise has our world gotten in evil and wickedness? It's gotten very wise in that. And how many of God's own children are caught up in that wisdom? It's sad, just as it was in Jeremiah's time. It's multiplying today. And we know the Lord warned that when iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. And we need to be very careful that our love does not grow cold as wickedness abounds in our time. We must still reject this wisdom of men and seek after what comes from God only. The wisdom of men, we must recognize it's from the devil. He's the ultimate source of that. We can see what Jesus said about it in John chapter 8, 42 through 47. John 8, 42 through 47. And this is what Jesus said to those Jews that were in his time. that had rejected him. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Well, who's our father? It's either God or the devil, spiritually. We have to choose who our father is going to be and whose wisdom we're going to listen to. Now, God is truth. He is the source of truth, and his wisdom contains that truth. The devil's, there is no truth in him. All that he has by that so-called wisdom, it's all lies. And those who are listening to him, this wisdom of men, and that's a phrase that we find in God's word. We're going to look at a few more passages where he uses that wisdom of men. But Jesus is identifying the actual source of the wisdom of men. It's of the devil. He says the same thing in James 3, 14 and 15. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. The devil is the source of it. And so whatever is not of God and his wisdom, whatever is of men is ultimately from the devil. We obviously need to reject that. Which is why man's wisdom is opposite of God's. There's no truth in the devil. He's a liar, has been so from the beginning, and he is the father of lies. And so that wisdom that he's selling to this world and deceiving men by, that is opposite to what is of God. Now, Jesus said in Luke 16, verse 15, concerning these things that are of men, what man esteems is what in the sight of God? Well, Luke 16, 15, he said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Now, what man esteems, what man has to say, does it fit in with God's? Does it blend in at all? No, it is not. It does not. It is the opposite. What man esteems, he says, is abomination in the sight of God. Now, what God teaches, what does men think of that? Man views that as an abomination. These two do not mix. They do not mix together at all. It's light and darkness. And we have to decide whether we're going to come out from this world and turn to God and reject all this that is from men, from the devil, and seek God and listen only to him and seek that wisdom that only comes from him, or not. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Here's what man thinks of God's wisdom. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So God says what's highly esteemed among men is abomination to him. The preaching of the cross is to those who perish what? Those who are of this world. Foolishness. So man thinks God's wisdom is foolish. God says what man esteems is an abomination. Now who's right? Let God be true and every man a liar. That's how it comes out in the end. So a man can call it foolish, he does what God says, but it isn't. What man is saying is false, because he got it from the devil. It's the devil's lies. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Well, there are a lot of them. And that number does seem to be growing by the minute. But what has God done with all of their wisdom? He's made it foolish, he says. And where does man get with all of his so-called wisdom? And what can we gain by the wisdom of this world in terms of knowing God and knowing righteousness and being able to find what is good? Cannot be. By its wisdom, he says, knew not God. It does not know God and cannot. We see this also in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He warns us in verses 4 and 5 not to listen to the wisdom of men or have our faith in it. In my speaking, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, the things that we see in our world today that are being promoted, that are being really forced on us, and we're being told very loudly that these things are good now, these things are right. Is it the same as what we saw in the world or even heard in this world 10, 20, 30 years ago or more? It's very different. Now, what changed? What happened? How could these things that basically everybody recognized as being evil 20, 30 years ago, and now a majority of people say, yeah, that those things are okay, that's good now. Did what was good change? Did what was evil change? What's happened? Well, who are we listening to? Now, a lot of people have been influenced, and a lot of people have changed their minds about what they believe about right and wrong. Well, is it because what God says has changed? It has not. So then who are they listening to? Well, they're listening to men. Are we? Have we changed what we think about what is right and wrong? Well, it should be the case, as we've learned more of God's will, we change our mind about what according to what God says, but according to what this world says. Do we let this world's wisdom influence us? We need to ask that of ourselves. If we are, why? Why would we listen to men? Why would we let one thing any man says influence us in what we think or believe at all? Because what they're saying is a repeat of the devil's lies. Why would we listen to the devil? That's really the question. Why would we let him be our father? Why would we not reject all of that and only listen to God and be like his sheep that he describes in John chapter 10 and verse 5 and flee from the voice of strangers? What is not the shepherd's voice, the voice of Christ? And we don't hear this foolishness from God and his wisdom. It is of men, ultimately from the devil. And so in 1 Corinthians 2, 13 and 14, he says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We cannot know God, and we cannot know righteousness and the wisdom of God by the wisdom of men. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 20 says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Now, we read a while ago Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. If we can go back to the book of Proverbs to chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. What do we need to do with our own understanding and our own wisdom? And he says, do not be wise in your own eyes. We've got to forsake all of that. And if I shouldn't lean to my own understanding or trust in my own wisdom, should I lean to the understanding or trust in the wisdom of any man? And what about you? I mean, none of us should listen to... We've got to turn away from all of that. What's in ourselves? What does that do with the so-called Socratic method? That we can find it all somewhere within us if we just search it out and we can bring it out. God says otherwise, doesn't he? So what was Socrates, and what does God do with his wisdom? He's made it foolish, hasn't he? And so with all the wisdom of men. It's not in the land of the living. It is not within us. We must not trust in that or lean to it. We've got to turn away from that and that from what is of any man, because it's from the devil. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." That's God's counsel. Proverbs 26:12 says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him." And then Isaiah 5:20-21. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Woe, God says, to those who do that. And that's to this world today. Here is this world today that's calling evil good and good evil and putting darkness for light and light for darkness. Is there a better description of what's going on in our time than that? But God says, woe to that, and to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Now, when we look at people in this world today, how wise are they in their own eyes, and how prudent are they in their own sight? They think they've got it all, and they're so confident in that they're going to make us accept it too. At least that's what their aim is, and that's what the devil's doing. We've got to reject that, not cooperate with that, and go along with that. This is rooted in a refusal to glorify God as God. And that's the problem that man has. I know we've read that in Romans 1 many times. But God says that's the reason that he has his anger revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. They hold the truth in unrighteousness in Romans 1:18. And he says in verse 21 of Romans 1, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." I mean, that is this world today. We must make sure that we're not among that number. But he said the problem is how they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. So continue to reject God instead of listening to him. Verse 28, Romans 1:20 says, 28, he says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." That's what we're seeing if we want to know why wickedness is abounding, because we see more and more of this rejection of God and glorifying him as God. To not be willing to live for the one who made us, the one that we all belong to. And so God has given this world over to all of this wickedness, but we cannot let it spoil us. We need to beware lest we be spoiled by it. We're here but a short time. Psalm 90 verses 10 through 12, and we'll close here with these verses. And Psalm 90 verses 10 through 12, he says, "The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." And that's true no matter how we live. We know that Methuselah holds the record as far as what God has recorded for us. He lived 969 years. So the Lord gave a lot more than 80 for many of those in that time. But he gradually shortened man's lifespan. But if we could hear Methuselah describing his life on this earth, do you think at the end of that 969 years, I've been here, this seems like it's been forever. It's very unlikely that he was thinking that. How fast would that go by? It's still, compared to eternity, it's still but a vapor. It's gone very soon. We are soon cut off and fly away. We're going to be out of here very, very quickly. He says, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us." Since we're here such a short time, 70, 80 years, now this was written, this goes back to Moses' time, Psalm 90, and here we are 3,500 years later. Sadly, we'll even hear some of our own brethren speak about getting caught up in this wisdom of men, thinking that there's a way to live forever, somewhere close to it, or all a very long time on this earth. Whenever people are talking like that, they've got a problem. But we don't need to be thinking that way, that there's some way, some key to us being able to and this is coming from a doctor, by the way, it doesn't change all that we understand in science and everything else in medicine. God's still in control, and you look at the lifespan of man, how different is it today than what he's describing here in Moses' time in Psalm 90? It's the same. God's in control of all that. So what do we do then if we're here such a short time? He says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, to the wisdom of God. We're here but a short time. We better listen to our Maker, the one that we belong to, the one that put us here, who is the only one that can reveal to us his ways so we can understand them and follow them. We better seek after that wisdom, and we better reject all that is of this world so that we are not finding ourselves facing that desolation and destruction and then be crying out when it's too late. This morning is an opportunity for anyone that is here that is not yet a child of God. This is an opportunity for you to come forward now and confess your faith in Christ before men and repent and be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of your sins. If you are a child of God, if you've been caught up in the wisdom of this world and its wicked ways, if you need to repent or you need the prayers and encouragement from your brethren here from the Lord's church this morning, this is an opportunity for you also to come forward. Anyone that needs to come now, please do so while we stand.